Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Today, the 29th of April. My gosh. 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. Our people out there and fighting the COVID-19, plus they're just their everyday work that they do to support our community. And I'm here with Sue at the helm.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's the news, or what's the weather look like? You did a great job on the news, by the way, but what's the weather look like?
Well, thank you so much. Yes, today mostly cloudy with a high of 87, calm wind becoming southwest, 5 to 8 miles per hour this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 57. For tomorrow, becoming sunny and a high of 83 and a low of 53. Plenty of sunshine for Friday and Saturday with a high of 82 for Friday, 80 for Saturday. Lows dropping down in the 50s overnight. Saturday night, though, it looks like there is a chance of showers. Also, chance of rain for Sunday. Overnight lows dropping down to 53 for Saturday night and a high of 74 for Sunday. So cross your fingers, we get some rain. In downtown Reading, it's mostly partly cloudy at this time, rather. Red Bluff is 66, 65 in Anderson. It is 63 in downtown Reading. And if you are traveling, just remember, in and around Reading, lots of detours. If you're heading north between Reading and the Oregon border, stop-and-go traffic, too many areas to mention. And if you're heading towards the coast, expect delays past Weaverville. That's 299 west, 299 east delays. This is closer to Aiden. And between, once again, Reading and Anderson, traffic does slow down. They're doing quite a bit of road work now. Carl, back to you.
Okay, the weather and traffic reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They are working full-time out there. He's keeping all of his people busy. So they're delivering propane all over the place. You can give him a call at 365-3793. Well, I'm here today with Robert Burke, who is our film critic, and then Celestina Traver, who will be following right after him from the Shasta County Veterans Service Office with lots of neat things to pass on. And then 8 o'clock, we have Dr. Andrew Bogan, who is one of the authors of the Santa Clara study that says that perhaps COVID-19 is much, much, much more widespread than we think. It's just that people aren't showing the, it hasn't affected people, that they've had it, and there's a lot of people out there with it, and maybe we pulled the trigger too soon on shutting down the world. So, but start off, yeah, Robert, follow that one.
Yep.
Okay. So you've been looking at films for families.
Right, okay. For all ages.
So what you got there?
So
since we're all locked in at night and everything, you're talking streaming services and stuff. So.
Right.
Okay.
So on Netflix, there is a movie that came out in 2011. It was very big for me at the time. I think I saw it in third or fourth grade. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's a perfect movie for younger kids and really all ages. It's called Hugo. This one, it was nominated for Best Picture, and I think Best Director as well. It was Martin Scorsese. And apparently he made it because his daughter went to him and was sad that she couldn't see a single one of his movies because they're all R-rated and they're all, gangsters bloody killing each other.
Yeah.
So he went and made Hugo, which was based on a novel that I also read when I was younger. And the novel is really magical. And Hugo follows the story of this younger boy who is living in this, train station area. And there's a classic shot from the movie where he's like holding on to the hand of a big clock.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically is living there, and he ends up making friends with this younger girl as well. And it's just a really magical movie. I highly recommend it. I think there is really something for all ages to get out of this. And even though it is PG and it is a movie that was made so that kids could see it, the themes in it are pretty adult at the mm-hmm. same time. So it's very good at balancing something for everybody to enjoy.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next one on the list?
So this one is not meant for kids too young, but I think like fourth or fifth grade and above, I think that people will enjoy it. It's called Hunt for the Wilder People. It was directed by Taika Waititi, who just did Thor Ragnarok, mm-hmm. and Jojo Rabbit, which was mm-hmm. the big one at the Oscars. So this was him kind of before he was like the big movie director that he is now. And I think that he made it in New Zealand, but it's about this guy, played by some older famous actor. I can't remember who at this moment, but he is...
Older Robert is somebody in his 30s. Okay.
He suddenly has possession of this kid. I don't quite remember the circumstances around it, but he has this 11-year-old boy that he is suddenly responsible for. But the older man wants nothing to do with him, and in fact, the older man goes off into a journey into the woods to try to like get off of the grid, and the kid follows him. So it's basically about like the two of them trying to survive in the wild, and they are looking for the wilder people who the kid believes are real, but the older man knows that they are not. It's a very strange premise, and it's a very like quirky movie. But it's similar to Hugo, where there's some adult themes in it, and it's really like a movie that all can enjoy.
And the name of it is?
Hunt for the Wilder People. It's on Hulu.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those are two that people can look for. You got another one there?
Right. Yes, I do. So I was trying to find like all age ranges for something that everybody could enjoy. I would say this one is meant for... like 8th grade or 9th grade and above. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, the movie is called 8th grade.
Yeah, you love this movie.
Yeah.
You've been talking about this movie for off and on.
For a while.
When it first came out. And you said it's captured 8th and 8th grade in that those tween years.
Right.
The best ever.
I think
so,
yeah.
You still believe that?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
It's also a very funny movie. It was directed by a stand-up comedian, Bo Burnham. And... his specials are on Netflix. He's a very funny guy. But he did kind of want to start getting into directing movies. And this one is definitely, like, a great one to start out with. Again, like you said, it just captures the feeling of being in middle school really well. And on top of that, it's also just a really, like, fun, entertaining movie. And I think any kid in 8th or 9th grade and above will be able to find some things to relate to it.
Have you seen any of these memes about Netflix?
What about the...
about just, you know, people watching Netflix all the time?
Yeah.
I mean, they are hilarious. Started watching a seven-year series yesterday, finished today. you know, people are binging on all this. And, okay, my latest movie from Netflix is Extraction. Have you seen that?
I have not seen it, but I've heard
okay,
of it.
There's not a lot of... I mean, it's the guy that plays Thor.
Right.
Is in it. And the, and the Curry brothers?
The Russo brothers.
Russo brothers are the ones that produce it. And these guys have had mega hits. And they, so they did this one. And they let their stunt coordinator is the guy that directed the film. And it is, they have a 12-minute sequence in there, Celestina, that is just unbelievable action. It is just totally... if you're looking for something to kind of like kind of kick back, it's kind of like John Wick meets Call of Duty,
mm-hmm.
where he's rescuing a young boy and realizes that it's more than money. So, yeah, I like it. I gave it a two thumbs up, but that's me. You know,
yeah.
Other people have given it, a lot of critics have given it, you know, one thumb halfway up or something. But it's I think it's a good movie.
A lot of critics are having problems with the violence in the movie.
Yeah. They're
saying that it's overly violent.
Well,
it's surprising.
But yet they give John Wick.
Right. That's the confusing
You know, John
part.
Wick killed 133 people with different methods in his second movie. Now think about that. It's a 2-hour movie, 120 minutes. So that means you've got to be in between, there's got to be some kind of dialogue. So that's what you're averaging there. So, yeah, so, but they love the John Wick movies.
Right.
And this one has a kind of an ambiguous ending, too. So, it's, when you see it, let me know what you think of the ending.
I will.
Hey, thank you so much for being here today, buddy.
Yeah, thank you.
And, we'll see you next Wednesday.
All right.
And we'll try to roll that one for a half an hour.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back. This portion of the show brought to you by Orchard Nutrition. Orchard Nutrition is, of course, an essential business. They're part of staying well is eating healthy. And the produce they have there is 100% organic, means the earth is organic, the plants are organic. It's handled in a very clean organic matter method. So other types of plants and produce do not come in contact with it at all. And they have curbside service there where you can call in your order, you pay, they'll call you back when they've got the order together, and you call when you get there, and they will bring it out. And put it in your trunk or your back seat, whatever you want, so you don't even have to leave your car. Orchard Nutrition has been with us for over 32 years, and they are been rated best in the North State so many times they retired the award to them because nobody could touch them. Orchard Nutrition in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. We'll be right back with Celestina Traver, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you. Oh, I feel nice. The sugar is fine. I feel nice. The sugar.
Get your morning update with us,
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only 4 AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Redding area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
COVID-19 has forced our community to tread through unprecedented times. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO for Redding Rancheria. Through drought, wildfire, and devastation, we have banded together and became stronger. The challenges we are yet to face remain unknown, but what is known is that this is a community of survivors. Our citizens are dedicated to rallying behind the community in times of crisis. It is the same dedication to our community that will help us face COVID-19. We ask that you follow CDC guidelines and to continue practicing social distancing. We are all in this together.
SSD Oil on Windham Lane in Redding, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SSD Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
So what's scorecard scribblings all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give them to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here at the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 Talk Radio. 605-4567 is our phone number if you have a question for any of our guests that are coming in today or a comment. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, a veteran-owned business that has been voted best in the North State because they are. They've been in the business for over a quarter of a century, and I can't say enough about their personal service that they give. If you're looking for a on-demand water heater, they can do that. They can fix any type of HVAC system. It's getting hot. If you listen, it's getting there, and it's going to be just roaring here. It's starting off a little bit soon. Is your air conditioner working to its fullest extent? Are your filters clean? Is your thermostat working? You'd be surprised how many thermostats don't work so well. So all of a sudden, you've got your air conditioner running really low or really high. So have them check that out. Alliance Heating and Air, 221-2642, or learn more at homecomfort.org. I'm here with Celestina Traver, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer, and she gave me 14 minutes of her time today for Robert. And so let's hit the ground running here, young lady.
Good morning.
You got a lot of information. Some of it that's been coming out through the VA or attributed to the VA is not exactly correct.
A lot of Zoom meetings, trying to gather as much information as I can so that I can put it out. We get a lot of questions all day long, and so I wanted to answer some of those questions that have been coming into our office. And the first one is your IRS stimulus check. They're wondering if you're 100% service-connected and you don't file taxes, do you get the check? Or if you are just running Social Security, the elderly are coming in or calling, I should say, and asking these questions. And so I have a little bit of guidelines for our veterans. And yes, if you filed for your taxes for 2019, you do not need to register on the IRS website. So if you have a valid Social Security number, and you could not be claimed as a dependent by another taxpayer, and if you have an adjusted gross income under certain limits, you get this stimulus check.
It's $1,200. We got ours 2 weeks ago.
I received mine a couple weeks ago as well.
Yeah, but there's still people in my office who are on, they should be getting theirs. Theirs should have been, but they haven't hit it yet either.
You also have to apply. If you have children under the age 18, you get a $500. Well, no, back that up. Under the age of 16, you get $500 extra
per child. Right. If you are under the money. The monetary guidelines.
Correct.
Because there's a lot of people out there that they're going to get a lot less than the $1,200.
Correct.
Because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like most of us, you should be getting that $1,200 per adult in your family and $500 per child under the age of 16.
Yes.
Just off your tax records.
So if you filed your taxes for 18-19 and you're receiving Social Security retirement, Social Security disability, survivor's benefits, or supplemental Social Security income, SSI, if you're in receipt of Veterans Affairs benefits, or if you're an individual that receives railroad retirement benefits, you will receive the stimulus package. If you do not or have not, you can contact IRS on the website. You can also track it on their website, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Yeah, it's kind of like tracking your package coming in from Amazon or something.
Yes, we actually tested it out yesterday. I had Troy in the office test it out and track it and look it up, and also Amy, and it was really easy. If you do not know how to do it, you can always call our office, and Amy can walk you through it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
The VA facility, we get a lot of questions about, are they open? Are they seeing people? Yes, they are. The urgent care, I broke my foot a few weeks ago and had to go in. I'm out of the boot. Look.
Yeah, I know. Last time you were here, you had to boot.
I know. I'm not even
open. I was looking down and checking.
So I went in to urgent care, and they saw me. Easy. They just asked me a few questions. I had a mask on when I went up to them. They walked me through urgent care in and out. They were very kind. I had x-rays done, and they took all the precautionary measures. It was empty inside, but they are taking people.
They are taking people. I have an appointment there for my annual physical, some May 15th. I don't know if they're going to let us. I guess they could still do that. I don't know, though, if it's on, because they called me before, you know, and they rescheduled my physical, and they said you could talk to the doctor. And my friends, if you're going to have a physical, you have to get your blood work done. And because so then he's got something to talk to you about. Otherwise, he's just going. We're going to chit chat about what's it like being in Reading, because he can't see you and he can't. So, but at least you need to get your blood work done so he can talk about any changes from your last one. So, but we'll see if they're going to be. You know, if that thing still goes. You know, at that time.
They're closed up until the end of June.
Okay, well, then that answers my question.
Yeah.
But they're still there.
They're there.
And by the way, Chuck Kenny from Shasta Gas Propane went over and fed them all at the at all three, you know, all three branches of the VA clinic. Brought pizzas to them. Oh, yeah.
That was very nice.
Yeah, we videoed that one. That's got like 5,000 hits.
So go get your blood work.
So they're open.
You can get medication.
You get medication. Yeah. And if you've got an emergency, you can go into urgent care.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about. If you've got, you know, and if you've got questions about COVID.
Yes.
They're
absolutely
there, too. I mean, if you think that, you know, you might have something like this, as long as you tell them about it up front, they'll handle that.
They have a doctor actually outside.
Yeah.
And they have a little mini, I don't know.
Triage.
And they take you back there and talk to you and check you out.
Yeah.
Swab you.
So it's still there.
It's still there.
Swab you.
Swab you. So if you have medication, they have chairs out front. And then when your medication is ready, they actually call you on your cell phone. And then you can pick up your medication. And I thought that was clever. They were doing a lot of workarounds.
Yeah. And it's a lot of people that, you know, if you're on medications, you know, you just call them in. Mm-hmm. And magically they show up
seven days
later. So it's still open for business, but it's not open for businesses.
Yes.
Right.
So the doctors, our office also has the number to call to make a phone appointment for your doctor. So there's a special number, so please call our office to get that number. If you do not have it, they have phone appointments. Also, you can go on My Healthy Vet and email your doctor as well. And if you need help with that, we're walking you through that as well.
Yeah, and that is really a good asset for our veterans.
Absolutely.
That if you have a computer or access to a computer, you can actually do it over your smartphone if you have one of those. Mm-hmm. You can go in there. You can literally look at your health records. You can see the type of medications you're on. You can ask a question, all of these things.
Yeah.
And that way, you're not sitting in front of the doctor, but you can keep track of what your health care is, which is so important.
It is.
As much as I trust my doctor, Tim Plato. I love this guy. But he's the only doctor I've had at the VA for 12 years.
Wow.
The only one.
I think he's the only one left.
He may be the only one left. And I tell him he can't. I said, what can you guarantee me? He says, I'll guarantee it to at least 80, because that's how long I'll be here. And then the other day he said, okay, maybe 75, because I may be leaving earlier. And I'm like, oh. I mean, having to change doctors after, if that case, 16, 17 years. Not that the rest of them aren't okay, but when you have a doctor that you know, I mean, he knows me when I go in there, and we have a great time during, and I get, you know, you get 20 minutes when you go in there with them.
Yes.
And they go through everything, and, you know, the heart, and, you know, looking up your nose and all these things. So it's great.
Yeah.
And if you got something, a skin lesion or something, he takes care of that.
That's
you get good doctors there.
You do.
And if you haven't signed up for the VA, you need to do that.
Yes.
There's people out there. I'm sorry, I'm doing all the talking here.
No, that's okay. We help sign you up for the VA clinic as well. We go ahead and do the 1010EZ, which leads me into how
the
are
break.
You? Oh, yes.
Leads you into what? Okay, what are we going to talk
Real
about when
quick,
we get back?
We're going to talk about how we're filing claims still.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've done a lot of work for a very, very nice family that I know of. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. My friends, the PPP is coming back again. If you didn't get it the first time, Payroll Protection Plan, head down to Cornerstone Community Bank. They should be your bank already. They're the local bank from around here, and they can help people. They are a very bright group down there. Locally owned, locally operated. Jeff Fink is the president, CEO. A lot of people on their board are business members of this community. And 2 years ago, they did a pandemic board exercise that showed them what they needed to do to keep that bank running at the highest efficiency if something happened. Well, guess what? When you heard about people getting PPP, they were all coming out of Cornerstone Community Bank. These guys are they may be small, but they fight above their weight, and they helped a whole lot of people. Three branches, one in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way, 1845 California Street, right down the street from Jack's, and the other in the old Rayleigh Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. They're still moving people's dreams forward. We'll be right back with Celestina Traer.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't want to die.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery. Curbside pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Thank you.
celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR. It's 7:35 in the morning, 29th of April, 62 degrees out there, going up to 87 today. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Crackmaster Windshield Repair is a veteran-owned business, Jeff Wurst, and he is a true professional in this business. He's been doing this a long time. He takes your car or truck or RV into a controlled atmosphere where he then fixes anything from a tiny chip to a crack over 2.5 feet in length. He guarantees his work for life. If you need to get your windshield repair, this is the guy to go to. He's a master windshield repair specialist. You're not going to be disappointed. He's at 3208 South Market Street, and you can call him at 241-8373 for an appointment today. I'm here with Celestina Traver, and I've got two people on the line. So, Terry and Richard, just hang on for a minute because we want to talk about the GI Bill, and we'll go roll right into you. Okay, what's going on with the GI Bill since the schools are shut down?
Yeah, so normally they cut the pay if you're not in your seat, at least one class. But I wanted to assure everybody that the payments will continue automatically, and you don't have to do anything.
You're talking about the students that get paid while they're going to school.
Correct.
Right.
Yes, so there's not going to be a change in payments. They're going to continue rolling out the payments, even though you are at home doing your studies, which is good. And they're not going to cut the housing allowance for you. So you're still going to get that extra housing allowance stipend as well. And I just wanted to put that out there in case someone's worried about that.
Well, the question I have then is, you know, they've shut down the schools. And so I'm sure there's places in the country that, you know, you can't continue your classes.
Yes.
And but you've already paid for them. So that's going to be interesting to see how they work that out.
Yeah, that is interesting. They're not running any deaths at this time,
mm-hmm.
I was told. If you're no longer going to school, then you'll have to call the GI Bill phone number and have a talk with them, but they're not going to roll you into a debt at this time.
Yeah. Well, that's good because, you know, all of them are trying to go online and stuff.
Yes.
And you're halfway through your semester when all this broke. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, as long as the veterans don't get messed around with this one, it's not their fault.
I'm watching it closely.
I know you are. You're like a hawk.
I am.
Let's go to the phones. Richard, good morning. Hello, Richard. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. I have two items if you have time. First, I must.
Is this about the VA?
What's that?
Is this about the our veterans, this is what this, you know, we're talking about.
This is those personal stimulus checks.
Oh, okay.
If people got a refund from a big nationwide tax preparation service, H&R Block, Jackson Hewitt, for example, and they got that fast refund right then and there, for example, sometimes the IRS sends it to the bank that handled the refund for the tax preparation service instead of sending it to the individual. So if people filed since 2018, 2019, either or both, and they haven't gotten it yet, go on that IRS website and make sure they have your current information.
Oh, okay.
Because, of course, those banks just send the checks back to the Treasury Department. You see what I mean?
Oh yeah, that's a good point. So they may be sending the checks to the wrong place,
and then
okay, that's a real good point.
Their account, right?
Okay, so what Richard said is
I don't know how they could flip up on that, but yeah. They do often.
Okay, so Richard says is if you got your taxes done by some of these big companies and they give you your refund then, and then the checks would go to the companies they give it back to them.
Right,
and they may not have your address.
They send it to the commercial bank instead of to the individual bank.
Okay, good. Thank you.
One last thing in that COVID 19. I read a news item, Mount Sinai Hospital, you know, New York, that's in the boroughs there, that had about one-third of the deaths occurring within that area. They discovered that men, usually in their 30s and 40s, have actually had stroke, and they've had no underlying health problem. And they checked into it. It's way beyond expectation. Randomness. The sigma is real high. In other words, it's significant. And they found out that where the transfer occurs between the oxygen and the bloodstream deep within the lung, that clots have formed there. And they're treating the patients who are seriously ill with COVID-19 with anti-clotting, and they're doing just fine. So check it out. And if, Carl, if you know somebody, you know, it's just regional, call them and you know, give them a day or two to check it out and get them on. Because no one knew that. They've been treating him like they've had pneumonia. And, okay. it turns out it there's just no transfer from the lungs to the bloodstream from poor oxygen.
Yeah, that was.
And in some cases, it actually develops a clot so big that it causes the patient to have a stroke.
Okay. All right, Richard.
And, all right.
Thank you. No, thanks a lot for the phone call. You know, tomorrow I think I've got to check about tomorrow. I may go for a whole hour of letting people call in because I'm learning. I learn things every day. Even from Terry. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Carl. How you doing?
We're hanging in there. What's up?
Okay. Just wanted to let folks know about the rallies that are going on across California. This will be on May Day, May the 1st on Friday. There's two groups. Freedom Angels is one, Freedom Angels. You can find their information at Freedom Angels Foundation. We had them on the radio program on Jefferson State of Mind, which you can go back and look at the archive, listen to the program. Four young moms that have put together this group, wonderful ladies, and they are one of the groups that are sponsoring and putting together this particular rally. The other group is We Have Rights. That's wehaverights.com. You can go to their website. The person who's running that is Lucy Cole. There are actually rallies in Sacramento, Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, Huntington Beach, and Ventura. They will all happen at the same time. They'll all be at 12 noon, beginning at 12 noon to 2 p.m. Or whenever on Friday. The one that's closest to us here is Sacramento. You can get information on that, on etiquette, details, things of that nature. They even have a map for each one of these cities. So if you go to wehaverights.com, you can easily find out information on this and see a map. So we just want to
thanks a lot, Terry.
Spread the word on that.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
You bet. Okay. Celestina, when we go back to we talked about the GI Bill, and here's a question. Okay, my husband hasn't received BAH this month, despite being in school and awarded BAH. And his school hasn't been paid for the class this month. Can we ask who we can contact to get this squared away, as he has another class starting Monday?
Oh, absolutely.
So what would they do?
They would call our office.
Okay.
And Amy has the number to the GI Bill place, and we want to keep track of it. So we want you to let us know if they're helpful, because we have other people to call to help you out. So we want to start first with the GI Bill, and then just keep in contact with us. And you can call our number at 530-225-5616 and press 2.
Give Celestina's office a call, and she can check into this, but the BAH is your basic allowance for housing.
And it should be paid. It should not.
That's right.
That's what I was saying, is they should be continuing to be paid
right.
without any pause.
Okay. And the school hasn't been paid for the class either. So,
interesting.
And so they're going to turn around. See, what the bottom line on this, my friends, is the veterans are on the hook for this.
Yes.
And what happens is that a lot of times you have to pay for the first month of school, and then you get reimbursed.
Correct.
Or sometimes the schools will just let, you know, they won't they'll just say, hey, it'll come in, so don't worry about it. But if for some reason it stops, a lot of times the only way they have of figuring it out is they go right to the student.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yes. So, Mouse, give a call to Celestina's office, and they'll get this thing worked for you. Good. Good question.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back with Celestina Traver. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. You know, Linda will tell me this is an essential business. For some reason, Newsom is picking on small businesses like this and saying they're not essential. Well, you know, Linda will be more than happy to debate him on this, Four Winds Jewelry. But I tell you what, it is a super place. It is the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. Somebody asked me the other day, if I design a piece of jewelry, could they build it for me? Absolutely. Henry can do anything over there. Plus, the only watch repairman in the whole area. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. And when they open up, they're open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4:00. Excuse me. Okay, we'll be right back with Celestina Traver and the Shasta County Veterans Service Office.
It's not unusual, you want to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual, you want to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual, you are.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with 5 types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
The City of Reading has provided utilities to our current casino by agreement for the past 25 years. During this time, we have been one of the city's top commercial customers. In addition to paying for our actual utility usage, our agreement requires us to contribute to the city's general fund to offset impacts from our current casino. This has resulted in us contributing about $3.5 million to the city's general fund to help pay for vital public services that benefit us all. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com or Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill. Featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Five Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Carl, Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this month. 62 degrees out there, going up to 87 today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And today's the 29th, and it's 7:49 in the morning. I'm with Celestina Traver, Shasta County Veterans Service Officer. And we're talking veterans issues. One of them is the VA loan that people have.
Yes.
And some people, you know, what's happening is like in my example, I have a VA loan. The company who is working, you know, that owns your mortgage came out to me and said, hey, look, we'll let you not pay for 3 months. And it's called a forbearance. Well, but that means on the fourth month, you pay them everything all at once, the 3 months plus the fourth month. But I thought I had read that if you have a VA loan, that the VA loans will let you put, you know, if you want to take advantage of that, we'll put it at the end of the loan instead of in 3 months. Do you have any information on that?
So the information I get is from Department of Veterans Affairs for VA loans. And forbearance means forbearance. It doesn't mean that that you have to pay a lump sum. They don't want you to have to pay a lump sum on the fourth month.
Okay.
And that's not what they intend it for.
Okay.
They do when it's going to be in forbearance. That means that they delay your payments and probably put them to the rear. Is what
yeah,
they would
that's,
do.
That's what I thought I had read. But
you should not have to pay a lump sum because most veterans can't pay that lump sum.
Yeah, I mean, if I took off for 3 months, you know, from paying, and then had to pay 4 months at one time, it could be a massive hit to the pocketbook.
Yeah. So I know a couple that had their company actually cut their pay 60%. So they had their mortgage go into forbearance, but they do not have to pay a lump sum at the end. All they do is pick up their loan, but their loan doesn't pick back up until, I think, July.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also student loans. If you have a student loan out there and you can't pay it, they have actually automatically gone into forbearance, and they're not going to pick back up until September. So you have some time so you don't have to pay that, which is really nice. And that was an automatic. That wasn't upon request.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but this is something that if you can check on this one, because like I said,
will.
I thought I had heard that they just put it at the end. They said, don't worry about it. It'll be at the end of your loan, you know, when you pay your loan off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be nice to know because I haven't done that, but it would be, I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't want to get hit with a 4 month.
Nobody
you know.
Can afford
Nobody.
That.
It's
especially
difficult.
Since your pay is either being cut or you have been put on 2/3 pay and you're on paid, you know, leave.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you're not going to have the same income
right.
to pay that lump sum.
Yeah,
it doesn't make
these
sense.
These businesses
to me.
And everything that you know have had to shut down, like
yes.
Four Winds Jewelry,
right?
And others.
So sad.
Yeah, so sad.
So I have some more information.
Okay, great. No, keep it coming.
I was on a Zoom meeting yesterday, and according to the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, over 7,000 have tested positive, 7,000 veterans have tested positive, and over 452 have died. And this is just veterans from the COVID virus.
Well, we were talking before the show started about this veterans home in Holyoke,
yes.
Massachusetts, where
oh my goodness.
236 veterans in there, 80 have died. Another 46 are hospitalized.
So
and
sad.
It is. And, you know, a lot of them, of course, need round-the-clock care. Many of them are in their 90s, but it just went through it like wildfire.
It just makes me angry because what are they not doing to protect these veterans? And why couldn't they reach out to other assisted living homes and find out what they're doing and implement that? And
yeah.
it's just.
Well, they said that, you know,
crazy.
When this started, they told them, we don't have enough PPE. We don't have enough personnel. Then the personnel that were you know, the nurses and attendants got sick too. Yeah, so they had, you know, it was, you know, the perfect storm for that one place, and it's so sad.
It is sad.
Here's a question. Do 100% service-connected veterans get automatic forgiveness from student loans now?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But there is an actual – what happens is you get forgiveness, and you can go through the process of that. But what they do is they count it as income for your next year's taxes when you file the taxes. They tack it on as income. So let's say you owe $30,000 and they relieve $30,000 of debt. You still have to claim that as income for your taxes.
But
there is a bill.
That's great. I mean, even then that saves. I mean, we're talking $30,000. Someone's got $100,000.
Right.
Okay, so you have $100,000 more in income, so you owe a lot more, but it's just a percentage of that, and you can spread that out, your payments.
Correct. Yeah.
But there's a bill?
There's a bill trying to stop that, so it doesn't count against you on your taxes. There's a bill. I don't know if it's died or I haven't really followed that bill, but I know there was one last year in 2019. So
I've got a question now. Okay, so that was a good question. So
that
if you've got 100% service-connected veteran and you have school loans out, then those will be forgiven. But you will have to – it'll be put onto your income.
Correct.
I can understand that. California is introducing – somebody from in the California legislature was introducing a bill to stop veterans – from paying income taxes in the state of California. I don't know if you saw that.
I have not seen that one.
It's one of those things that was kind of like it probably has no chance. But there's other states that do not collect state income tax from veterans.
I'm actually focused on getting more money. All the CACVSOs in California is actually requesting that the legislatures get behind adding us to their the budget, the state budget.
Explain that to people that these your office is at will. I mean, if the Shasta County said, well, you know what, we can't afford it, they could wipe off our your Veteran Service Office.
They probably could. They probably
they would
wouldn't
never do
because
that.
We have such a need.
Right.
But they can, let's say, the
cut
safety.
Cut your budget.
Well, they could cut my budget. They could say, well, you're going to give $40,000 or $40,000 to safety next year, so cut your budget $40,000. So we get $5.5 million. And we're asking for $11 million so that we can spread out. There's 56 counties and 54 VSO offices, and we're so shorthanded.
Well, that's for all the.
For all of us.
Oh, not just yours.
No. Yeah, no. I wish it was. I'd be.
Okay, so you're asking to double it so you can you have 54 VSO officers for 56 counties.
Yeah, like ours, we have 22 zip codes. I can't even reach half the zip codes. So I would like a full-time person, maybe a couple of them, to do outreach. So I wanted to, real quick, I know we only have a couple of minutes left.
Like a minute and a half.
Okay, I'll talk quick. To go over what we're doing for the COVID, what we focused on, there's a few points. Preventing suicides, access to unemployment benefits, employment retraining for those who've lost their job. We're focusing on replacing health care benefits for people that lost their job, just making sure untangling the GI Bill confusion. We're looking at long-term homeless veteran solutions, the reducing access to the VA process. That's what we're going through, trying to figure that process out and how to streamline it.
Yeah.
Overcoming VA challenges in this process, serving isolated veterans. Currently, all the vet reps are calling all their people on their caseload. Each has 3,000 on their caseload. They're calling them every day. We are filing claims via electronic on your phone. You sign it from your home.
Oh.
And it's called Finger Ink. And so we're doing that.
So you don't even have to leave your home to file a claim.
No, and the social workers are actually helping us with people in assisted living. They're actually helping us by using their phones to help them sign.
Celestina, as usual, You got 1,000 things going on here.
I
and
do.
You're helping tens of thousands of veterans, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate you.
Thank you.
So, you know, be safe out there
and stay
healthy, okay? Tell your staff that.
I will.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to have Dr. Andrew Bogan with us, who is one of the authors of this study down in Santa Clara that says maybe the COVID-19 virus is a lot more widespread than we think. And the fact is, if that's the case, maybe it's not as deadly as we think. So we'll be right back after the news.
CNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Amid talk on Capitol Hill of a fourth round of stimulus spending, some members of the Republican Study Committee of the House say that many future COVID-19 outlays should be offset by spending cuts.
In a letter sent to the top four leaders in both chambers, Louisiana Republican Congressman Mike Johnson, who chairs the RSC, and Indiana Republican Congressman Jim Banks argued that there is an urgent need to address the debt. The lawmakers said that while they understand the need to help Americans weather the financial hit caused by the pandemic, they feel the fiscal health of our nation can't be ignored.
Capitol Hill correspondent Bernie Bennett. The gross domestic product shrank at an annual rate of 4.8% in the first quarter. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that economic activity will plunge this quarter at a staggering 40% annual rate. Nearly 70 residents of a veterans home in Massachusetts have died from the coronavirus as state and federal authorities investigate the deadliest outbreak at a U.S. long-term care facility.
Pictures of the veterans that died sit on the front lawn of the Holyoke Soldiers Home, where vets continue to die, and investigators ask if they were denied proper medical care. Nurse Joan Miller says the coronavirus spread like wildfire.
I do believe it is from the transferring of the vets from unit to unit, as well as the floating of staff from unit to unit. And in the beginning, we were not given the proper PPEs.
Now 81 employees are positive, along with 82 of the remaining residents.
We're used to helping people to die with care, with honor, with dignity, but not in this magnitude.
I'm Julie Walker.
An encouraging report on a possible coronavirus treatment. Gilead Sciences says an experimental drug met its treatment goals in a major study. Wall Street, the Dow is up 498 points. The S&P 500 index, 69 points higher. The NASDAQ up 261 points for a gain of just over 3%. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We're about to hear a commercial for a very unique mortgage team that has a very specific advantage that could save your family monthly and lifelong money. Two things you should know. One, we were started by a dad and his son and his wife and his sister-in-law, and we've grown to be a faith-focused mortgage team that's helping families across the U.S. We're faith and family at our core, and we don't hide it. Two, we still stayed fairly small, on purpose. We're only about a couple dozen people, a makeup that we believe lets us truly know every person that calls. But we also have a big advantage. Our company is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, a reality that often allows us to get you a better rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money. We or United Faith Mortgage at UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist Number 1330. Equal Housing Lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
One of India's best-known actors has died at the age of 53.
Irfan Khan was often described as the finest Indian actor of his generation. He's best remembered for critically acclaimed roles in Bollywood and independent movies like Maqbool, Piku, and The Lunchbox. But he was also one of the country's best-known international actors. Some of the English-language films he'd worked in include Slumdog Millionaire, Life of Pi, The Amazing Spider-Man, and The Namesake. Mr. Khan was in a Mumbai hospital being treated for a colon infection. 2 years ago, he had spoken out about his battle with an endocrine tumor, a rare illness that affects cells which release hormones into the bloodstream.
That's the BBC's Yogit Lamaye reporting from Delhi. China says the annual meeting of its national legislature, which was delayed for a couple of months by the coronavirus outbreak, will open at the end of next month. News and analysis at townhall.com. The limitations of travel insurance have been brought into stark relief during the coronavirus pandemic.
Would-be travelers are frustrated over denied claims for hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars. Plane tickets, vacation homes, and other excursions are going uncovered, even though some say they couldn't have reached their destinations because of travel restrictions. Basic travel insurance policies generally don't cover pandemics or fears of getting sick, and plans often have a very specific list of covered reasons for cancellation, such as losing a job or a terrorist attack. But many who purchased plans assumed that virus-related cancellations were covered. Some say policies were difficult to understand. Keith Peters reporting.
South Korea's deadliest fire in years has claimed at least 36 lives, and authorities fear that the death toll will rise. That blaze erupted at a warehouse, was under construction just south of Seoul. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating over 10 years on the air. 605-4567 is our phone number. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this month. And today is the 29th of April, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. That's our hospital up here, one of our hospitals up here. They're all fighting this COVID-19. So far, so good for us. We've only had one new case. I think we had four last week and one yesterday. So I think the total's come up to, what, 31 now?
Yes.
Which makes our guest here is going to be very, very timely. But what's the weather look like, Sue?
Today, mostly cloudy. You can expect a high of right around 87 with a low of 57 and partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. This will continue through Saturday. High of 83 tomorrow, 82 for Friday, and 80 for Saturday. Overnight lows dropping in the 50s. Now, Saturday night, we could see a change, a chance of showers and a low of 53. Possible rain for Sunday as well with a high of 74. It's currently clear and 63 degrees in downtown Reading. Remember, if you're traveling pretty much any direction, especially in and around Reading, expect possible delays and detours due to ongoing construction. Today is Wednesday, April 29th. Today is Peace Rose Day, Shrimp Scampi Day, and Zipper Day. Zipper Day.
Okay. Hey, the weather, the traffic conditions, and the day, whatever day it is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, they went out and fed all of the VA clinic and its two branches, brought pizzas to everybody there because they wanted to say thanks. Our guest today is Dr. Andrew Bogan, and he graduated from Princeton University with a degree in molecular biology. He got his PhD from the University of California, San Francisco, in biophysics. He is a co-founder and managing member of Bogan Associates, an investment firm in Palo Alto, California. And he has been involved with the biotech industry for over 20 years. He is one of the co-authors of his research study, COVID-19 Antibody Seroprevalence in Santa Clara County, California. And he also wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal on April 17th. And this thing has kind of raised a lot of questions. So good morning, doctor, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, and thank you to you and your listeners.
Well, you know what? I read the study as much of it as I could understand. And can you give people a background about this study?
Yeah, so the thing we really didn't understand about COVID-19 is how many people had actually had this disease. We knew that there was an ever-increasing number of known cases of people who had been tested in the medical system, usually presenting with fairly severe disease, to be able to qualify for testing, at least early on.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that some portion of those, tragically, were succumbing to the disease and dying from it all around the world. What we didn't really know is how deadly the disease was on a total infection basis, because we didn't really know how many people actually had been exposed and infected. We just had a case number. So the question we were trying to answer was, how many cases did we not know about? Here in Santa Clara County, when we did the study back at the beginning of April, there were about 1,000 known cases that had been detected for active virus infection. But the question we were trying to answer with our study was how many cases had not ended up in the medical system with severe cases that had been detected. And the way we tried to answer that question was by using antibody tests. So an antibody test doesn't test for virus. It actually tests for antibodies against a prior virus infection. So this isn't saying somebody currently has COVID. It actually would be saying that somebody already had COVID or had a previous infection from COVID more than, you know, say 3 to 10 days or further ago.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is this what this your study was trying to find out is really how many people have been exposed to this, and the fact that when you went into it, did you have a supposition there, or was it just to find out if this was a true number we were seeing?
Well, we were certainly looking for as accurate an estimate as we could find. That's what science is about. We did have a hypothesis. That's how science is, you know, scientists create experiments. We had a hypothesis that the number might be higher than was being found because of under-ascertainment biases. Now, what that means is that who was being tested? Well, the people who were being tested early on were only people who had travel history from Wuhan, China. Then you had to have a travel history from anywhere in China. Then you had to have some combination of those things or severe respiratory symptoms. And even now, with the amount of fear that this pandemic has generated, a lot of people who might have mild to moderate symptoms are still of the view that they either wouldn't qualify to be tested or don't want to be anywhere near the medical system for fear that they might either catch or spread this terrible disease. So there were good reasons to think that there may have been cases that were not being reported in the traditional public health measurement process through the county health department.
Could it also be that people that had been exposed to this had such a mild case that they never even knew they had it?
Yeah, and in fact, we actually knew that fairly early on because there was a cruise ship that had been essentially the entire ship had been quarantined in Yokohama Harbor in Japan, the Diamond Princess. People probably remember that story in the news you know, a few months ago. And there were numerous people because that ship did pretty much universal testing with the Japanese health authorities. And there were large numbers of people on that ship who had been tested positive for active virus infection and literally didn't know they were sick. They were completely asymptomatic. Some of those people then had either mild or moderate symptoms later on, and many of them never had symptoms at all. So we already knew that there was some portion of the COVID-19 infection across the whole population that was not easily detectable by traditional techniques of waiting for someone to get sick and present at the doctor's office. If you have no symptoms, why would you go see the doctor at all?
Well, that's it. And, you know, you have people that said they had a bad case of the flu in January or February or last year. That could that have been an early onset of COVID-19?
So there has been a study on influenza-like illness, and that's exactly right, that this winter into early spring, especially into the spring months across the U.S., the number of influenza-like illnesses that were reported through the traditional kind of flu monitoring system were much higher than would have been expected based on the way flu had progressed and the time of year. So I think there is some evidence that suggests that there were other types of evidence, that is, besides our antibody study, that would suggest that there were far more people who may have had a flu-like illness from COVID-19 as opposed to a flu-like illness from flu or some other bad cold. And, of course, there are several of the traditional cold viruses are also other types of coronaviruses that are better known and better understood.
You told me that your medical examiner went back in early February and found that the earliest known case of a COVID death was a lot sooner than people thought.
Yeah, that's right. So Dr. Sarah Cody, who's our Santa Clara County public health officer, did a really terrific job of understanding that they may have missed some of the early infection spread, in part based on work we've done in collaboration with them. And the findings that they discovered were that actually one of the deaths back in early February, I believe it was a February 6th death, if memory serves, in Santa Clara County that was a sort of unknown respiratory illness, was in fact a COVID-19 death. The sample they had from the autopsy ended up testing positive and was confirmed positive by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which is the U.S. government's body in that field. So, you know, that showed very clearly that, one, the county's doing good science that no one really would have anticipated them to be doing. So that's terrific in its own right. But it also shows that this disease was, in fact, present in our community much earlier than had previously been known.
Wow. Hey, we're here with Dr. Andrew Bogan, who is one of the members who wrote this, wrote a study about the COVID-19 virus in Santa Clara County, and it's gotten national and international review on it. A lot of people interested. He wrote an op-ed article. I still am seeing other of your co-authors being interviewed and being on other, in the print media and other places too, because this is your study, though, is also being replicated in other places. Is that correct?
Yeah, it has, and that's super important because, not surprisingly, as the first major study of its kind, we took the brunt of the scrutiny, as we should. You know, it's great to have that scientific scrutiny come back when you have a new finding that's really surprising and sort of, almost heretical with respect to the common understanding of a disease and pandemic. That said, I would have been very concerned about the accuracy of our results if we found, when other people did similar studies around the country and around the world, if we were some kind of outlier. But happily, we're not. What we found was that well more than 10 times, in fact, in our own county, which really only means something regionally and locally, but we found 50 to 85 times as many seropositive people, people who previously had a COVID-19 infection, than were known based on a case basis here. And that multiplier effect of more than an order of magnitude or more than tenfold, in our case, 50 times or so,
mm-hmm.
That number expands the number of infections and cases. That also has the opposite effect on the infection fatality rate. It goes on to the denominator and makes the infection fatality rate much lower. Other studies have found very similar things. So my colleagues at Stanford were involved in helping organize a study with other faculty at the University of Southern California that was done in conjunction there with the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. And they found 4 or 5% seroprevalence. We were around 3% here in Santa Clara County. They found 4 or 5% in Los Angeles County. Now, these numbers are sort of small percentages, but they're meaningful numbers because in Santa Clara County there were 1,000 known cases of COVID-19 at the time of our study. We were estimating that there are between 48,000 and 81,000 true cases that were, tens of thousands of which were not detected.
Uh-huh.
In Los Angeles County, a 4% rate equates to somewhere between 200 and 400,000 cases.
Okay.
Because it's a very populous county. So what we're finding is that very large numbers of Californians already had this disease without knowing they did.
Okay. Doctor, Dr. Bogan, let me break in here because I have to take a break. But I want to follow up on this one because what we're saying is that this many people have been exposed, they have the antibodies, that perhaps I want to ask you questions about the testing and, where we're going from here and the ramifications of maybe did we pull the trigger too soon? And I just want to hear your thoughts on that. But we got to take a break real quick. This portion of the show is brought to you by Home Helpers. Ready and Home Helpers is out there. Many of the people who are now in their homes are needing more assistance than they would have before. And Sharon Clark has got people standing by, whether it's an hour a day, 2 hours a day, a few days a week, or 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, she can help people. She's been doing this for over 16 years. She's won Best in the North State so many times, they should just retire it and give her the belt for ever. If you want more information here, give her a call at 226-8350 or learn more at readinghomehelpers.com. Home Helpers right here in Redding, California. We'll be right back with Dr. Andrew Bogan at 8:18 in the morning here on the 29th, 62 degrees out there.
Make this year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
COVID-19 has forced our community to tread through unprecedented times. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO for Redding Rancheria. Through drought, wildfire, and devastation, we have banded together and became stronger. The challenges we are yet to face remain unknown, but what is known is that this is a community of survivors. Our citizens are dedicated to rallying behind the community in times of crisis. It is the same dedication to our community that will help us face COVID-19. We ask that you follow CDC guidelines and to continue practicing social distancing. We are all in this together.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premium is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, Branch Manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579 or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Make this year turtally awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back. By radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. Carl Lindebot. Linda's on assignment this month, as many people are. Your talk radio station, 605-4567. 8:21 in the morning, 63 degrees out there, going up to 83. On the 29th of April, this portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. If you're looking for anything to help you with health insurance, your homeowner's insurance, anything, life insurance, give Judy a call at 221-0441. She can find homeowners insurance. She's like a magician when they've canceled so many up here because of the fires we've had. And her financial group is keeping everybody apprised of what's going on and keeping everything under control. Maxwell Insurance and Financial have been helping people since 1993. I'm on the phone with Dr. Andrew Bogan, who is one of the co-authors of a study done in Santa Clara about the prevalence of COVID-19. Is it much more prevalent than we thought? And then the ramifications about that. And I believe what you're saying, doctor, or from what you've said, is that it's much more prevalent than people thought.
That's exactly right. What we've seen in Santa Clara County is roughly 3%, which is tens of thousands of infections, mm-hmm. Based on our data. What we've seen in Los Angeles is about 4%. That's hundreds of thousands. The New York State Health Department followed our model and rolled out antibody testing statewide over the last 2 weeks. They've actually found New York, of course, much harder hit, much further along in the pandemic. We know that from their experience there, which has been terrible. New York City is a week ago was showing 21% seropositive, meaning prior infection, and they're now showing 25% a week later. So I mean, those numbers in New York State and New York City specifically are very large. We're talking about, you know, almost 3 million cases.
Wow. So is it more important, you think, to have, or should it be both be done? Is, you know, because they're talking about ramping up testing for everybody to see, are they ramping up the antibody test to maybe find out is that if the numbers are like you're saying, is that we have millions and millions of people in the United States that have been exposed yet have shown no symptoms or have gone through it already?
We think that the data emerging across the United States and actually around the world, there's studies like this in Germany and other parts of Europe too. There's been studies starting to come out of China. We think what we're seeing is a very consistent trend that just about everywhere we've looked with antibody studies, we find 10 times or more the number of people who've clearly had a previous unknown infection to the known cases that have been reported to the healthcare system.
So reported cases is not really a true indicator for the number of infections.
Unfortunately, that looks to be correct in this situation, yes.
Well, that has a big impact then on everything else that's been happening around here. If the numbers are so much lower, I believe you pointed out that the infection, well, let me ask you, COVID-19, if people have this, is it as deadly? I mean, I'm not talking about percentages right now, but it appears that if somebody gets this, if you're in a certain type of group, it's almost like a death sentence. So this is a serious virus that people can get.
Yeah, there's no question that COVID-19 is a serious respiratory viral illness. No question about that at all. It's already killed tens of thousands of people around the world. And there are characteristics of the most at-risk individuals that we've seen from that emerging data, from, you know, the global fatality statistics. We've seen that the elderly are at risk, the frail and very old are at even higher risk. The individuals with comorbidities, whether they're old or not, see elevated risks. You know, those underlying diseases that make just about any health situation worse. Those kinds of considerations have had major impacts here. Fortunately, we've not seen very much severe illness among the young, which is interesting because, you know, in the case of seasonal influenza, which is also a serious virus and serious viral respiratory illness that gets sort of underappreciated, I think only because people are familiar with it. You know, flu kills tens of thousands of Americans every year. Tragically, in that case, it's not only the very old, although that is one of the major categories for influenza deaths. It's also often the very young, infants and young children, in those numbers. So there are differences between the diseases. They're both serious diseases. I don't mean any comparison to flu to suggest that I'm devaluing the seriousness of COVID-19. I'm not. Influenza is a serious illness as well. But I think it is the case that they're different viruses. They present in different ways. The symptoms are a little bit different, although heavily overlapping. You don't tend to see the shortness of breath and breathing difficulties as early in influenza as you sometimes do in COVID-19. And I also think we're not as aware, since we haven't spent quite this amount of effort and energy on influenza as we have this year on COVID-19 scientifically. I don't think we know what portion of influenza is actually going through the community in a way that is not being detected either. So there are a lot of areas that we don't know about, but both are serious diseases. COVID-19 is certainly serious and potentially fatal. In a vast majority of people, based on the data that's been emerging, it's not fatal.
Okay.
In fact, early on, the WHO was saying infection fatality rates looked like they were maybe 3.4%. Dr. Fauci in the White House's team has been reiterating that it's 10 times as deadly as influenza. The emerging data would suggest that neither of those things are necessarily true. It looks like, actually, with respect to Santa Clara County specifically, we're seeing infection fatality rates closer to 0.2%, maybe even a little lower than that. In New York, which had a much more advanced situation, they find an infection fatality rate based on their current data closer to 0.5%. That is higher than typical seasonal influenza, but it is nothing like 10 times or 20 times as bad.
Well, that's interesting because we've done a lot of things have happened based on that statistic and those models that they were coming up with. Were they working with just the best information then? Is that why some of these decisions were made?
Well, they were working with the inputs they had, which were mostly early estimates of case fatality rates from the various bodies like the WHO or the CDC. It looks like with the data we now have that those early case fatality rates were very largely overestimating the true infection fatality rate, meaning by more than tenfold. And if you put in inputs to any mathematical model, that's more than 10 times off the true number, what you'll find is that you get a result that is just that incorrect information expanded to be a inaccurate model. So I think it is true that the modelers were working with what they had. We now are starting to see better data emerging, and I fully anticipate that we'll see many models adjusted with these kinds of data in the coming weeks and months.
It seems like we've already seen that in some of these models. They've started, you know, they start reducing the number of people that are dying by thousands. There's some, you know, when this started was, you know, as we look at it now, of course, we're looking at it, you know, a month later, was the shutting down of the country a plausible way to stop this or slow it down?
Well, you know, the concept of a shutdown and really extreme social distancing or shelter in place or de facto quarantine kind of measures, the goal of those measures is to slow the spread of the virus. If you actually look at good epidemiological modeling of disease progression in the pandemic, slowing the spread doesn't actually have very much effect on the cumulative deaths predicted across the entire course of the pandemic, you know, running out, say, 1 or 2 years' time. It does, however, slow the peak of when those deaths come and spreads it out. The flattening the curve concept is essentially spreading out your death curve of your fatalities by lowering the infection rate early on with interventions. Now, there's some good reasons to do that. One reason to do that is to buy yourself time to understand more science about the disease and understand the disease better. Another good reason to do that is because you're concerned about overloading the healthcare system, you know, running out of ICU beds or ventilators, as they were very concerned about early on. Thankfully, in the U.S., that really didn't end up being much of a problem, with the exception perhaps of a few hospitals in New York for a few days. The challenge with any of that is, what's the long-term goal? What are you really trying to achieve?
There was a panic going on, stirred in my opinion partially by the media that was pushing this out. We had a shortage of ventilators, and as we find out that there were enough ventilators for everybody. And so far that we're starting now to get people that are saying that that this was shutting down the economy is not the way to handle this. What do you think about that?
Well, there certainly have been widespread agreement that shutting down the economy was sort of the most cautious approach. And we saw most states in the U.S. follow that approach, including here in California as one of the first. There are other places around the world where that was not the approach. So in Sweden, they did introduce social distancing recommendations, but they didn't close restaurants, they didn't close bars, they didn't shut down the economy, they haven't generated wide-scale unemployment like we tragically have done in the U.S. with over 26 million unemployed Americans as of this week. And the Swedish data, several weeks into the pandemic, they have, even higher rates than we do. And we're seeing a few percent here in California in our studies. New York saw 25%. Numbers more like New York are the kinds of numbers that they've seen, in the 15, and they're predicting by the end of the month, maybe closer to 20-odd percent in Sweden. But their actual fatality cumulative numbers and per thousand rates right now look very similar to a number of other European countries that have had much more draconian lockdowns. So I think there's a real question in the data that's emerging as to whether there's been any meaningful advantage to the very strong measures that have been taken. That's to be determined yet. We don't have the final data going out 2 years yet. We'll only know that in retrospect, unfortunately. What we know so far would suggest there really is not very much difference between taking a prudent and cautious approach whilst trying to limit economic damage, as opposed to doing more of a shutdown approach that, of course, with it brings tremendous economic damage. And, it's not just economic damage. People sort of have been talking in this context of saving lives versus saving the economy, and how could you even consider that as a comparison? That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm talking about saving lives potentially from COVID-19 versus saving lives quite certainly from the negative impacts of economic catastrophe on lives and livelihoods that are well known and well documented. We know from previous research that for every 1% of unemployment, you get 1% rise in the suicide rate. We know from the 2008-2009 Great Recession that the following year with the housing crisis, there was a huge spike in heart attack related fatalities because people were under tremendous stress from having lost their homes and they died at a higher rate from heart attacks. We know that things like domestic violence and alcoholism and opioid use go up under these kinds of conditions of hopelessness and economic catastrophe and unemployment. So there are real costs to the path we've chosen, and there are potential benefits with respect to reducing lives lost, at least in the near term, from COVID-19. And I think those should be weighed much more carefully than they have been. I think you're right to say that the initial response was largely fear-driven, not driven based on scientific evidence.
Okay. We're here with Dr. Andrew Bogan, who is one of the members of a group that wrote a paper on how COVID-19 in Santa Clara County. The fact is that a lot more people were exposed to COVID-19 that had COVID-19 with no symptoms. And this study has been replicated in New York and L.A. and other places in the world, and they're all starting to find this, that a lot more people have this than we thought before, which then drives down the death rate from the 1% to 3% that was projected by Dr. Fauci down to 0.002. Is it 0.002 or just 0.2%? And even lower.
0.2%.
Yeah. And so, man, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about antibodies and how antibodies could be used in something like this. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, who is the place where they take the COVID-19 patients. We had Dr. Bawa on, who was treating COVID-19. Luckily, we haven't had any go in there in the last few weeks. The Shasta Regional Medical Center is one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, recognized by the Watson Health Organization, fully accredited chest pain center. Shasta Regional Medical Center is rated in top in the nation when it comes to surgical complications, heart attack care, hip and knee replacements, all of these things. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center right here in town, and they do a whole lot of stuff for our community. It's your health. It's your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. We'll be right back with Dr. Bogan, and it's 8:36 in the morning here on the 29th of April.
I don't want you to tell me it's time to come home. I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and, of course, on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living.
One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Tune into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fear.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number, 8:40 in the morning here on the 29th of April, 63 degrees, going up to 82 today. Our guest is Dr. Andrew Bogan. He got his first degree out of Princeton University in molecular biology, PhD from the University of California, San Francisco in biophysics. He's been involved in the biotech industry for the last 20 years. Co-founder and managing member of Bogan Associates. He is one of the co-authors of the research study COVID-19 antibody serial prevalence in Santa Clara, California, writing about the prevalence of COVID-19 in Santa Clara County right here. You may think it's a smaller study here out of just one county, but it's been replicated in L.A. and New York and other places in the world, which says essentially is a lot more people have had been exposed to COVID-19 than we believed. One of the things that you were checking for were antibodies, doctor. Is that correct?
That's correct. We were doing antibody tests for antibodies against COVID-19 infection.
Will antibodies, is that something we could use to combat the COVID-19? I mean, blood from people, when you start seeing that?
Yeah, so there are that technique is called convalescent serum, and it's a very old medical approach. It's been used for generations now, and there have been some trials that are now underway across the country of people actually taking antibodies from the blood of people who have recovered from COVID-19 and transfusing the serum from those patients into people who are actively sick, trying to provide essentially an immunity boost from the convalescent serum.
You know, I'm seeing things is that the COVID-19, you know, it seems like every few days we come up with new symptoms. Is this thing mutating on us?
Well, viruses all mutate constantly, although I don't believe yet that we're seeing any significant changes to the virus's behavior. Most of the mutations you're seeing that allow you to sort of determine, like, which of the various strains a patient has are actually not yet, at least, impacting the virus's behavior. I think the additions of symptoms that we're seeing is simply comes with the learning curve of the medical community and public health officials coming to a better understanding of an emerging disease. So early on, it was very clear that some of the classic presentation for patients that were symptomatic were things like fever, dry cough, sometimes dyspnea or shortness of breath. And there are now some further additions to that list that you've seen coming out as people learn more about disease, and we have more cases of it and have seen more manifestations in more different individuals.
You know, I've seen that when we, you know, for the MERS and SARS and all this, that you had to have the disease manifested in you before you could pass it on. And what is somewhat insidious about COVID-19, you don't have to show any of the symptoms, and you can infect other people. Is that what you understand?
That clearly is the case with COVID-19. Now, interestingly, that's probably also the case with a number of other respiratory viruses. I don't think it's well known whether that's true of influenza. I don't think it's well known how true that is of various different cold viruses, the four coronaviruses that cause common cold, the other adenovirus and rhinovirus types that are also sort of lumped in as cold. You know, cold is actually caused by many different viruses of three different categories, in fact. So, you know, there are a lot of different respiratory viruses in humans, and I think if we put the amount of effort into research that we have recently around COVID-19, we'd probably learn a lot more about some of those diseases, too, and probably discover that there was meaningful asymptomatic transmission. There certainly have been some studies in cold viruses that would suggest that before, yes.
Do you think that this was just a natural virus, or was this something, you know, because you read this all the time, too, was it man-made?
I don't think I know enough to really comment on that. At this time, there have been speculation on both sides of that argument in the press, so I'm sure we've all seen.
I guess it gets down to this, then. If it's much more prevalent than we thought, and should we be testing everybody for the virus and then tracking them? I mean, everybody in the United States? I mean, this seems like almost
an
impossible thing.
Yeah, no, I hear your question. And I think there are a couple of concerns that I have about the sort of idea of universal testing. Testing in general is favorable. You know, I'm a scientist. I love data. More data is better. Understanding people's situation is great with respect to public health, especially in the context of a new and potentially deadly serious viral respiratory disease. But realistically, if we're talking about a virus that has already swept you know, millions of Americans. I mean, they're saying now in New York City, they think one out of every four New Yorkers has already had this.
Wow.
That would suggest a scale of infection, including large amounts of asymptomatic and mildly symptomatic, I mean, subclinical, somebody who was maybe sick at home for a couple of days but didn't even bother seeing their doctor. Very large numbers of cases of that category. And what that means is that this idea that we're in, you know, test and contact trace every single person who has this. If you're really talking about millions of people, I mean, New York State's health department now says they think that, you know, roughly 3 million New Yorkers already have this disease. What would the scale of a testing regimen look like to test and contact trace, you know, the next 3 million people infected somewhere else in the country?
Well,
I just don't think it's feasible.
Well, one of the things that Governor Newsom says to open up our state is, you know, testing and tracking. And, this, you know, you can just see just by the numbers, the sheer numbers, how we could be, the state could stay shut down for years if that's the reasoning behind it.
I don't think that approach is feasible. You know, there are others who disagree with me. They're certainly welcome to disagree. I'm interested in others' opinions, too. But personally, I don't think it's feasible given the scale of infection that we believe is out there. I just don't think it's going to be feasible to test and contact trace everyone. That's not to say the testing isn't important. I mean, I would like to see, one, continued antibody testing to understand the seroprevalence in different communities around the country and around the world, and so we really have good monitoring of the progression of this disease. You know, it's important to know that we're somewhere in the, you know, 3-5% range back at the beginning of April, at least, in, you know, northern and southern California. It's also important to know that we're at the 25% range. I mean, one out of every four New Yorkers has already had this in New York City. Those numbers are very important for making sound public health decisions and understanding what the future risk to hospital overloading is on any regional basis, which is something we should obviously be trying hard to work against.
Are you familiar with what there's two doctors out of Bakersfield are saying about numbers being padded? I don't know. Did you see that?
I have seen the comments from the doctors out of Bakersfield. I did notice that YouTube took that down, which I thought was pretty irresponsible, since those doctors were, you know, being interviewed on a ABC network news show and giving their professional opinions, which may differ from, you know, people's preferences, but were certainly legitimate opinions of two professionals in the medical community. I don't understand why we would be silencing people in those kinds of roles. But that's a separate consideration.
Yeah, I know.
I'm fond of freedom of speech, personally.
Yeah, so am I. I found that very, as you said, irresponsible on it. You know, doctor, it sounds to me like your study and the other studies that are being made, and they're kind of all agreeing on one thing, is that it's much more prevalent than we thought. A lot more people have been exposed to it and have it, and it'd be great. At some point it'd be interesting if we could get the antibody testing to find out really how many people have it. So two more questions is, are we going to look at this thing coming back again in October?
There's no real way to know that. If we're lucky, we won't, but I wouldn't count on luck in a situation of a pandemic. Usually, based on historical precedent of other pandemic diseases, you do see two waves or more of pandemic. In 1918, the pandemic influenza actually ran in one very small early wave, followed by two larger main waves. So, you know, multiple waves of disease are not uncommon, you know, but we also don't know. The SARS and MERS epidemics, thankfully, ran their course. SARS has not really recurred meaningfully, whereas MERS actually has recurred a bunch of times, but the public health system has detected it faster and handled it better with the prior experience from it. So, you know, there are different experiences with, and those are just two other coronavirus examples, but there are different experiences of disease and epidemic progress. I think it would be wise to be prepared for another cycle of COVID-19 infections in the fall. And I wouldn't be certain that we don't have continued infection throughout the summer. There's a lot of assumption that because it's a respiratory virus, it will have a low in the summer. That's probably even true, but there's actually not enough known about this particular virus yet to be certain of that. There has been some spread of virus in Australia, for example, during what was their opposite season from here, being in the Southern Hemisphere. So I'm not certain we know enough to be sure of any of those things. But I think it would be prudent to be prepared as best we can be for return of the virus in the fall season when respiratory viruses tend to be worse across that whole category of illness. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is it time to open the economy up, in your opinion?
Well, you know, that's, of course, a question for policymakers. You know, I'm a scientist. I'm not a, you know, public official. I think that the policymakers...
But you're also a businessman, too, besides that. I mean, you did the study, but you also are a businessman. So, I mean, you're tuned into these kind of things, too. So, I mean, I don't know if it's impacting on you or not. It's not none of my business. But you've also got
that
business.
Well, I think it's impacting on everybody, Carl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's for sure. So they've come up with all the, you know, social distancing and all these other rules to start opening the economy. Yet some states never really closed down.
Yeah, you know, the decisions were made made in the dark. There was very little information. They were being based largely on modeling that was being driven by case fatality metrics that were available. Those metrics, in retrospect, look to have been way off, by, you know, tenfold or more off. And not surprisingly, the implications of an estimate that's 10 times wrong is a very, you know, inaccurate modeling. What we now have to do is understand what the alternative is. You know, one of the reasons the government of Sweden very clearly said they weren't going to shut their economy down, they were just going to request sort of voluntary social distancing and try to do things as well as they could without the economic damage, was that their health department in Stockholm very specifically said, we don't know how you would decide to reopen if we decided to close.
Well, that's interesting.
And that's a very interesting question. You know, what we're seeing now is some really difficult decisions being made. You know, now everyone's saying, well, we're not going to reopen without this data or that data or universal testing or this criteria or that criteria. And yet they closed with very little scientific evidence based on quite speculative modeling. And with really no criteria for what they were closing for or what they would be opening for.
Yeah, interesting.
It makes
huh?
the policy decisions very difficult.
Would you say that the president, no matter what you think of the president or anything like that, would you say that he was caught in a position that any president would not have envied having to react to this thing like the way it took off?
I think that's fair to say, simply because there's no one who would or could or has been president who would ever wish to be president during a pandemic. It's a terrible situation for the health of the planet. It is a terrible thing for humanity. It is a very unfortunate outcome. There's really nothing good about this situation. And I don't envy anybody in a policy, policy decision-making role having to make decisions with the limited information, especially early on. I think the policy decisions that were made early on were made in the best intentions of trying to save human life from a very, clearly fatal new epidemic and globally pandemic disease. That's a responsible time to be cautious.
Okay.
The question now is we've seen some different approaches. I've mentioned the different path taken by Sweden and the very similar outcomes they've seen to many other European countries. The fatality rate per 100,000 in Sweden is pretty similar to what you see in the UK or in France or some other countries. It's a little higher than some of their neighbors in Norway and Finland, although there's some other reasons for that. I don't think we've moved to a situation where policy is any easier to make, because once you've made the decision to shut everything down based on largely fear response, and having done it with really no criteria as to why we were doing it in the first place, to undo it requires coming up with criteria. And that's hard.
Did you get pushback on your study?
Oh, we got a tremendous amount of pushback on the study. Some of it very constructive and very well-intentioned from other scientists and physicians around the country and around the world who were very interested in the results and trying to make sure that we had thought about every different angle of them. That aspect of the peer review process is really very beneficial. I should say that the results I've been talking about from all these studies, because they're all very new results, are all preliminary. The peer review process is ongoing for our study, for the study in Los Angeles, for the New York State Health Department, other studies that I've mentioned or alluded to around the world. Many of these are being put through the peer review journal publication process now. So we'll have even better data that's been more rigorously analyzed, but I don't anticipate any sea change to the results from any of these studies. The methods here are actually really quite routine. There's been a lot of criticism of the false positive rates of the tests. I can say with our test, we saw 99.5% specificity, meaning 0.5% false positives. We had a higher false negative rate, so if anything, the implication of the statistics would be that we were undercounting, not overcounting, true cases. So, I think a lot of what's been thrown at us as criticism has been thrown because people didn't like our data, didn't like what the results implied,
uh-huh,
more than they really had discovered something wrong with our methods. Seroprevalence testing is not groundbreaking, amazing science. It's routine work that's been done by public health around the world for decades. So, the amount of attack we got was much more related to the policy and political implications and the amount of attention that this disease has,
mm-hmm,
than had anything to do with the actual science we did.
And, Doctor, we've run out of time here. I really appreciate you taking an hour of your schedule. I know it must be pretty busy to come on and talk about the studies. Dr. Bogan's the co-author of the research study, COVID-19 Antibody Seroprevalence in Santa Clara County, California, which essentially says we have a whole lot more people that have had it and have never shown the symptoms, very mild symptoms, than we believed, which then drives down the death rate from 1-3% to much lower than that. And the study has been replicated also in LA, New York, and other places in the world, and they're all kind of finding the same thing. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. It kind of, when I saw this thing when it first came out, when I sent you an email, wanting to have you on the show, and I know that you're busy and all these other things are going on, but this opens up a new chain of thought, I would hope, to our leadership out there.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you to your listeners in the Reading area too, a terrific part of our state.
Okay, thanks a lot, Doctor. Hey, tomorrow. One of the things that's happening, I don't know if you've heard about it, but our Shasta County Public Health Director, Brandy Asola, is resigning her position. She says that this COVID-19 emergency has kind of shined a light on, says that her, that she is not happy, I shouldn't say that, but it doesn't meet her skill set. So she's going to stay on to the end of May and then hopefully go to another place in the public health. She's been in public health for a long time. So now they're going to be looking for a new public health director. We've asked the doctor who's in charge of this to be on the show. Tomorrow we're having Dr. Grady, who is going to be talking about, something totally different and about, things that, women's health issues during this time. And so that and much more. Have a good day. Stay separated. Think about what the doctor said. There's a lot of people probably walking around that's had COVID-19. It's never shown the symptoms, and that maybe it's time that we really take a proactive stance, or it is a time to take a proactive stance in getting Redding and Shasta County opened again. Have a great day.
And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.